Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, listen to your point of view, and sort things out the best we can. If you'd like to communicate with me directly, you can drop me an email at john, J-O-H-N, at cctacoma.org. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll read carefully everything that I receive. I'll repeat that email address again later on in the program. A little full disclosure here, the CCL in my email address is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby, and I'll talk a little more about that also later on in the program today. And aside from that activism, I'm also a continuing education instructor at Tacoma Community College, teaching a course in climate change. Unfortunately, the spring quarter session has been canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but I'm looking forward to regrouping and getting back to work on that course. And when we do, I'll give you some information about it. Folks who've taken it so far find a lot of value in it and some fun as well. So today specifically, I want to talk about carbon offsets, what they are, how you use them, and where they should fit into the larger scheme of things in terms of our individual and group efforts towards reducing carbon emissions. I'd like to sketch out where it fits in the larger scheme of things, and here's what I think that we should be doing as individuals regarding climate change. Number one, we need to get knowledgeable, and if you're listening to this program, that's part of what you're doing. You're getting knowledgeable. There's all kinds of information available. Good information. I can think of a couple websites. SkepticalScience.org is a great one. And of course, CitizensClimateLobby.org is also another great one. Just be careful where you're looking, that you're looking at a reputable site, because there's lots of bad information out there. There's also a lot of good books, and at some future program, I'll go over some of my favorites. So that's the get knowledgeable part. As we get knowledgeable, we'll want to reduce our own carbon footprint. And there are 1,000 ways you can do that. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but there's a whole bunch. I do have a document, over 100 ways to reduce your carbon footprint. And once again, if you send me an email, I'll send you a link to that. You can download it off the internet. There's lots we can do as individuals. Big things like putting solar on our roofs, buying an electric car, small things like riding our bike to work if we live close enough for that, using public transportation, putting LEDs in our lights as they burn out, and so on. Plenty of to do in reducing our own footprint. And by the way, I think as we reduce our own particular carbon footprints, it makes us more aware of what's going on in the world and makes us more inclined to speak up about our concerns about the environment, climate change, and sustainability. Okay, so we've reduced our footprint best we can around the house, in our personal lives, in our work, and so on, but there's some stuff still out there that can be pretty tough to reduce. In my case, I have loved ones on the East Coast of the United States that I'm close to and I like to be around, so the way to get to them or for them to come and see me is jump on an airplane, which of course leaves a carbon trail behind it. Some time ago, I took an online survey of a sort that allowed me to figure out how well I was doing in terms of my own carbon footprint. And the result, not surprisingly, was, well, you're doing well in a lot of areas, but you're flunking in air travel. So air travel is a great place to talk about carbon offsets. But before I jump into that, I want to make the final point, and that is, even though we do everything we can as individuals to reduce our carbon footprint, to do our part, that's only a very small part of what we can do as a species, what we have to do worldwide. And to accomplish those other things, things like turning away from fossil fuels towards clean energy, reducing our methane gas emissions by changing the way we do agriculture, those kind of things, and especially since it's a worldwide issue, those are all politics. We have to get politically active to get our leaders to take steps that need to be taken to address the climate change situation. Okay, to just recap quickly, we've gotten knowledgeable, we've reduced our own footprint, we're working on it, we're using carbon offsets where we can't reduce our own footprint, and we've become politically active. So now time to really dig in to the whole carbon offsets notion. I'm going to use a bathtub analogy some here. Imagine that we have a bathtub and it's filling up with water, and the water is filling up faster than it can drain out through the drain. Eventually, the bathtub is going to overflow and make a mess in our house. That's basically what's happening with our carbon emissions. We're putting more into the atmosphere than the atmosphere can handle. There's going to be more and more there, and it's creating problems. So in this analogy, every time we're putting more carbon in the air, it's like we're putting more water into the bathtub, and it's not getting out fast enough. So a carbon offset, you can think of it as, okay, I put a bucket of water into the bathtub, but somebody else takes a bucket of water out. So even though I didn't do a good job in a particular area of reducing my carbon footprint, I've had some kind of offsetting activity take place that at least keeps me neutral in that. I've paid somebody else to do something that reduces their carbon output. Therefore, we're talking about a kind of a neutral situation in terms of total carbon output. Now, right now, I want to throw out a caveat, and that is, it's a temptation to forget about reducing our own footprints, and it's also a temptation for businesses, too, as far as that goes, to just say, well, I'll just buy some offsets and be happy with it. Offsets really are kind of a last choice, not a first choice. So what would be a specific example of a carbon offset? Let's say there's a rancher in the Amazon basin who's got some financial incentives to cut down some forest and plant some agricultural product or graze cattle in the land once the forest is cut down. There's an organization that could possibly be working with that rancher to say, look, we realize it's going to be an economic cost to you if you don't cut down that forest. And so what we're going to do is we're going to provide you with some money so that you don't have that financial incentive to cut down the forest. And the rancher agrees, okay, fine, I won't cut down the trees. That would be a simple example of a carbon offset. Now, there are both personal kinds of offsets, the kind you and I can buy, and there are what I would call really gigantic offsets that very large corporations use, like Amazon, for instance. When they talk about being carbon neutral, they're probably thinking about getting carbon neutral by buying offsets, and we're talking billions of dollars in that case. Those are not the kind of offsets we're going to be talking about today. Well, right off the bat, there are plenty of institutions that you probably do business with right now that offer carbon offsets as you purchase their product. Let's take airlines and rental cars, for instance. Most of those firms right now have a box you can check as you're making your reservation that says, yes, I want to purchase carbon offsets for whatever activity I'm doing today, an airplane flight or renting a car to drive somewhere. That's simple. They do all the calculations for you. A little bit is added to your bill at the end, and you've done your carbon offset for that particular activity. By the way, these offsets don't cost a lot. I would say, in my experience, when I'm buying an offset for a coast-to-coast flight, it's only on a matter of a few dollars, certainly less than 20 bucks or so. So not a major deal in a way of me feeling better about the carbon that I'm producing taking that airplane flight. Now, that's a pretty simple version, but everything is not that simple, of course. You may have other carbon emissions that you want to offset. Let's say maybe you're driving a gasoline car at home and you want to offset your carbon emissions. How are you going to do that? There are many organizations that you can find on the internet where you can purchase carbon offsets. And I'm going to talk about some specifics in a bit. But the bottom line is you really have to do your homework. It's like so much else in this climate change issue. We do need to dig in and understand what's going on because everything is so new. We didn't learn about carbon offsets in high school because there weren't any carbon offsets, at least when I was in high school. So great, the internet. I've heard folks say that WWW stands for the Wild Wild West, and carbon offsets are no exception. There are people all over the place who are willing to take our money if we're willing to send it to them So once again, we need to do our homework. We need to figure out ways of finding reliable organizations to purchase our carbon offsets from. Many of these organizations are nonprofit. Many of them are for-profit. The real issue is, do they really do what they say they're doing? So there are two kind of places you can look. There are places that are basically clearinghouses for carbon offset organizations, and then you can go directly to the carbon offset organizations themselves. Here's a couple names for you. A voluntary carbon standard. That's voluntary carbon standard. Another is goldstandard.org. And a third, climate community and biodiversity standard. Go on one of these sites and see if it will lead you to a carbon offset organization that's going to work for you. For specific organizations, I have a friend who just recently did a lot of research and came up with an organization called TerraPass, TerraPass. I personally use an organization called ClimateCare.org. I got that recommended to me by one of my friends at Citizens Climate Lobby, so I have confidence in it. What are some of the considerations in whether a carbon offset organization is a valid one or not? Well, here's some of the things that you can look for. There's a concept of additionality. That means that you're purchasing carbon savings that don't already exist. So, for instance, let's say there's a guy who decides to put up a wind turbine. He's made that decision, then thinks, hey, wait a minute, I can get some bucks by telling people that I'm selling carbon offsets because I really am putting up a wind turbine. Well, that's not additional. That's just some money that he's collecting for something he was going to do anyway, and so that's a scam. That's why we rely on the clearinghouses to help us make sure that we're not getting scammed. Another thing that needs to be looked at is the permanence of a project. Let's say a rancher agrees to plant a bunch of trees on his ranch as a natural carbon sink. But at the same time, he knows that as soon as he's collected all the money, he's going to rip the trees up and put cows back on that land. He flunks the test of permanence. Another possible scam is that carbon savings can be double counted. Let's talk again about the guy with the wind turbine. Let's say he's legitimately putting it up and counting on people purchasing carbon offsets to finance it, but he sells the same thing to a whole bunch of people. A little bit like a Ponzi scheme. Now, I don't want all of this to scare you off, because the carbon offsets world is no more or less troubling in terms of scams than any other part of our online world. Just use the same caution you use with anything else on the internet or over the telephone. And once again, if you would like some help in navigating your way through this, drop me a note at john@cctacoma.org, and I'll give you some specific help or answer questions. So just to review the big picture of what we're doing here, first we're going to get knowledgeable on climate change. As we get there, we're going to start reducing our own personal footprint just because we think it's the right thing to do, and it is the right thing to do. We can't always eliminate all the stuff we want to, so that's where we can turn to carbon offsets. And most important of all, we're going to get politically active in one of the many organizations that's legit, hardworking folks working to make change politically. And really, the only solution looking forward is the political one, because of the international nature of the problem and because of the financial incentives of some to not change their behaviors. So it's been great talking with you again today. I'd love to hear from you at john@cctacoma.org. And now reminding you, as always, live like the mountain's out. Take care.